and we continue to do so for years. By the grace of God, we are in a time where in the ministry of Christ, every day was a day of compassion, if you read the gospel stories, particularly Luke. Now to a more mundane. The time is of the essence, so I was told to shorten the sermon by speaking even faster than I usually speak. So let's move on to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Just kidding, of course. I'll try to make it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Not exactly a common book for you to know. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go on in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out, nor did your foot swell those 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God will discipline you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk. For the Lord your God, I'll read from the text. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I have commanded you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testified against you today that you will surely perish. The word of the Lord. Lord God, be with us this morning as we listen to your word and its message for us today. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. The journey from promise to prosperity, to reality, from potential to fulfillment, is never an easy one. It can be an arduous trek through a wilderness of uncertainties that so overwhelms the traveler that soon she or he forgets all save the need to satisfy whatever ails us at the moment. For such is the tyranny of time, of the present. In those instances, the traveler forgets the road that has been traveled. Worse yet, she feels that there is no need to keep afresh the reason for the journey, and the promise that lies upon its conclusion is pushed out to the margins and does not make an impact into the present. The passage we have read from Deuteronomy depicts for us the final stages of the long trek from slavery in Egypt to a promised land of abundance. They had spent 30-plus years in transition, their interim ministry period. 30-plus years. You've been 12 months so far. Between times and between places, neither here nor there, simply in between. The book of Deuteronomy, I am quite sure, would not make your top 10 list of books of the Bible. Never mind the New York Times bestseller list. But it is a very important book. It is vastly important. There is something about its content and format. Did you know that the entire book is one sermon? And you thought I was long-winded. There is something about it that makes it important for us today. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, it was the book of Deuteronomy that he quoted repeatedly as he confronted the enemy that's trying to derail him from his goal. After all, this book is in between again. It doesn't narrate the wonderful stories of the Exodus, the plagues, the confrontations, the miracles. It doesn't narrate for us the end of the journey when they enter the promised land with the battles and the winning of the land, but simply walking for 40 years. If you're a hiker, you may enjoy that. But of course, this is wilderness. Now, when I think about it, our situation is not too dissimilar. We are stuck in this proverbial wilderness term transitional ministry with a pastor, me, who is unsure if he is to go forward or backward, with fellow travelers, yourselves, who are debating whether to get with the program, whatever that program is, or simply seek a road that is a little easier to walk on. Have you considered how best we can manage this time of in-between? Indeed, how can we feel at home while in the wilderness? How can we be productive while in this in-between, neither here nor there? In this text from Deuteronomy, we see Moses concluding his service among his believers, his fellow believers. And he emphasizes four things: the path that they must follow, the past they must remember, the presumption that we must hold in check, and the promise to keep in mind. I shall try to be brief. Emphasis on try. The path to follow. The passage before us, like many in this book, begins with a call to obedience. The call to obedience may sound a bit too authoritarian for us in the 21st century. But in pre-modern times of Moses, 1400 BC, I think not many of us remember those days, that was quite acceptable. You simply obeyed authority. Moses drafts his address with two double themes, which are employed to emphasize the call to obedience: remember, forget, and wilderness, promised land. The entire chapter revolves around the two double themes: remember, forget, wilderness, promised land. The Israelites are to make sure that they do obey all the commands, the law, that God has given through Moses. They are not to pick and choose which ones they can feel more comfortable with. They are to obey the entire law. They are to keep the whole covenant. Once again, for us in postmodern America, where the prevailing attitude is that you do what seems good to you and let me do what seems good to me, this is a hard statement to accept, to obey all that God commands. However, as men and women who call ourselves children of God, disciples of Christ, members of this congregation, we are similarly called to obedience to all the teachings of Christ. The most important point here is that we must endeavor to obey all the commands, that we are to bear witness to the love of God among us. No questions asked. Secondly, there's a path to bear in mind. Remember the wilderness and God's presence there. In an effort to foster obedience to the commandments, Moses exhorts his listeners and readers, you and I, to look at their journey thus far. Look back, he says, a call to remember the past. The act of remembering prompts obedience to the covenantal law, for it brings to the forefront the reality and faithfulness of God. Forgetfulness is tantamount to disobedience, for the self and human concerns have pushed into the background of the mind the reality of God, and God no longer matters in the present. The fact is that we humans have a propensity towards forgetfulness. Often we make joke about it. I'm called Forgetful Al at home sometimes. However, here the people of God are exhorted to ever keep in mind their past as they journey onward towards the future. For as we glance at the past, we see the ever-present hand of God guiding, providing for us in a miraculous way. Here, the people are reminded of the 40 years of provision in the desert. Though through it all, the Lord provided for them every single day, every single year. But look carefully again at verse 2. It reads, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you." And here's the emphasis. "Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." In other words, Moses is saying, the whole wilderness experience is a time of testing, that the people may know whether they have been obedient or not. On the one hand, the desolation of the wilderness removed the natural props and support which humans by nature depend on. It cast the people back on God, who alone could provide the strength to survive in the wilderness. On the other hand, the severity of the wilderness period undermined the shallow basis of confidence of those who were not truly rooted and grounded in God, and they ran for cover. They left them. For us here in Wyndham, we who are in the wilderness of transitional ministry, it behooves us to look into our own past and see there the hand of God providing, caring, guiding, even testing us. Indeed, the difficulties that you encounter at this time without a permanent pastor to serve and lead you are a sort of testing. Who among us will remain faithful to the one who called us to serve right here in Wyndham? When all is going well, it is relatively easy to remain faithful and joyous. But when times are tough, we see many who are deemed strong who run for cover. If God has led you this far, if he has provided for us for over 200 years as a community of faith, will he not provide for us into the future? So there's a past to remember. But we must not dwell in the past. The passage also promises a promise to orient us. God will bring his people into the promised land. The promise is described in glowing terms. You've read it with me. There is plentiful of waters. They're in the desert. And he talks about brooks of water, springs, and deep waters, which stand in sharp contrast to the desert that they've been walking on. The land was also rich in crops, fruit, oil, honey. They will have plenty to eat. The land will be such a blessing that all the people will praise the Lord for his goodness. So there is a future hope. The Lord has led us in the past, providing for us when we were in dire need. It is the same one, the same God that even now is leading us into our future place in his kingdom right here in southern New Hampshire. I am certain that the Lord has a bright and strong future for this community of faith, and we must always keep that before us, orienting us towards God's future plan for us as a community. Indeed, we are to look back into our past, but we must not remain in the wilderness forever, staring at the past. We must not live in the past, nor are we to journey towards the future, staring behind us. The Lord does have a promised future land for us right here in Wyndham. We must keep his promise ever as our North Star if we are to remain faithful and onward in the journey. However, there's one warning. There's a presumption disorient us. The chapter ends with a dire warning. Verses 17 to 19, Moses turns his attention to what might happen once the people enter the promised land. Moses knows that human beings are rather presumptuous, aren't we? Once the land has been taken and all the people have come to enjoy the fruit of the land and wealth is abundant, God would soon be forgotten. And they, the people, will presume that all their accomplishments were solely the result of their hard work, their determination, their human intellect, their goodness and creativity. There is the danger of presuming that all that we have accomplished has been acquired through human ability alone, without God. This is a real danger for us. For the works of God, great as they are, that which God wants to accomplish in this world, he does through you and through me. And we run the presumption of assuming, ain't I good? I am a great leader. This is a real danger. We think human agents are very gifted. And God has gifted them. And we say it was all because of Pastor X or so-and-so that we did this. And often, these assigned agents, unfortunately, begin to think that something inherently good and capable in them was really responsible for their deed. But, and God is pushed to the outside. What will you do without me here to lead you? Sometimes we say as leaders, to our shame. God will lead you in that case. In a speech, one of our U.S. presidents said, "We have been recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." The president, Abraham Lincoln, 1863. That applied to 1860s United States. What do you think? 2014. We have pushed God away because we presume that something inherently about being Americans makes us so good that we should be leading the world. May we not be so presumptuous. All of this to say, how can we, as a community of faith, feel at home in this wilderness of transitional ministry? Very summarily, keep in mind the promise that will reorient us. The promise is that God will get us to the promised land. He said that in the message of Moses to the people. He will take us there. He has promised, as he has promised our forefathers, he will do. So keep that ever before us, the promise. Keep alive the promises. Look ahead towards the future with anticipation, with excitement, anticipating that God will indeed do something even greater than he's done thus far among us. But also, live faithfully in the presence. Obey all the commandments. That's how the passage began. Obedience to the commands the Lord has given demonstrate that we are being faithful to him, holding his promise ever as our guiding north star. And remember who has sustained us thus far. He is faithful to see us through. Sometimes we as Christians need to stop along life's road and look back. Although it might have been a winding and steep, arduous road, we can see how God has directed us by his faithfulness. Here's how we may look back and see that God has indeed delivered us from past experiences, the way he has led us, the blessings he has bestowed upon us, the victories that he has won on our behalf, and, of course, the encouragements that he gives us, even this day, saying, I will take you through this period of transitional ministry. When we face the difficulties, we sometimes forget God's past faithfulness. We see only the detours and the dangerous path. But look back, and you will also see the joy of victory, the challenge of the climb, and the presence of your traveling companion, with a capital C, who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. God will take us there. May the Lord be with you.